Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour. In the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is June 28, 2014, or the second day of the fourth lunar month, 2018. We will start our fourth service on this seventh day Sabbath with a song entitled, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my humbly leave. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in the merit, would I seek thy faith. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Thou, the spring of all my comfort, hold in life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on earth is our calling, do not pass me by. Revival and Reformation precedes the Great and Dreadful Day of the Yahweh, Part 1, Text of Exodus by the Vicki Holler for 1947. We're going to, it's taken from Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 8. And, we're going to first refer to a prayer thought taken from the Scriptures, Isaiah 55, verse 1, and we're going to read the whole chapter, there's 13 verses. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye into the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in the fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness unto the people, a leader and a commander unto the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of Yahweh thy Elohim, and for the Holy One of Israel, and that's Yahshua his son. For he has glorified thee, who is this thee, the house of David. Seek ye the Yahweh while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let's do that again, verse 6. Seek ye the Yahshua while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Okay, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Yahweh, and he will have mercy upon him and unto your Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with the peace. For the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into the singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be unto Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Okay, let's go ahead and read Isaiah 56. Thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Now to let the son of the stranger that has joined himself unto Yahweh speak, saying, the Yahshua, or the Yahweh, hath utterly separated me from his people. Now to let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Yahweh, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves unto the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar. For mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And Yahweh Elohim, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others unto him, besides those that are gathered unto him. Okay, we're going to look at now accusations against the unrighteous. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with a strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Revival Reformation precedes the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Our subject is found partly in Daniel chapter 2, Matthew 4, Jeremiah 51, Micah 5, and Malachi 4. But mainly in Joel chapter 2 and 3, we shall first turn to Malachi. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. He shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here we have the promise that Elohim is to send someone before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, and when he comes, whether he accomplishes anything else, he is to turn the hearts of the fathers unto their children, and the hearts of the children unto their fathers. Now it appears somewhat puzzling that the hearts either of the fathers or of the children need to be turned toward the other, but if we consider that the work of the Elijah is not of a domestic nature, but spiritual, then we shall see that Elijah's message is to intensify in the heart of the parents as well as in the hearts of the children, a burden for the salvation of the other. Parents are very anxious to labor with other people's children, but seldom with their own. Likewise, children are anxious to preach unto others, but not so anxious to preach unto their own parents. Elijah's message of the revival and reformation, however, will place the burden of saving souls primarily where it belongs. His message will be seen to be of the real importance rather than a theory. And when his followers fully realize that the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh is at the door, they will be seen pleading first for those who are nearest their heart. Now, let us now turn unto Daniel's the prophecy, Daniel 3:44. And in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of the heavens set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay. So what is this here kingdom? This kingdom is the everlasting kingdom of David, that Yahweh made a covenant with David before he died. Solomon established it by building it and dedicating it. For it is understood by most Bible students that this great image of the Daniel 2 represents the kingdoms from the Daniel's time down unto the end. Here you see the stone which is cut out without the hands smites the image in the feet, and the stone fills the whole earth. In the days of these kings, our time, declares inspiration, Elohim will set up the kingdom that is represented by the stone, and it will smite the nations and thereby bring their end. What could that day be but great for the Elohim's people and dreadful for the nation? Indeed, it is to be the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. Daniel 2:45. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, let it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king, which shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Daniel's account of the day is very brief, but Jeremiah describes the day in the detail. Jeremiah 51:21-23. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces young man and the maid, and I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. Here inspiration explains that Elohim with his kingdom is to break the nations, that his people are to be his battle axe. Both Daniel and Jeremiah are definite that the kingdom is to bring the kingdoms of the world to an end. Micah 5:7. It says that, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as the dew from the Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for the man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. For the remnant of Jacob, those who are left after the tares are taken out, when once set up as a kingdom, is to be as the showers of blessing unto those who seek salvation, and as a lion that tears in pieces those who continue in their sin. For the day shall be great to the one people and dreadful unto the other. Now we turn to the chapters of Joel's prophecy that meet their fulfillment in the latter days. Joel 2:1-3. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden, and before them and behind them a desert wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Here you see that a message is to be proclaimed unto the church, unto Zion, declaring that the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh is at hand, that it is to be devastating behind his people and glorious ahead of them, that the Yahweh is thoroughly to comb the field, that he is to gather every grain of wheat and then burn the tares. Joel 2:4-6, it says, for the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As the strong people sit in the battle array before their face, the people shall be in much pain. All faces shall gather blackly. We see that the powers which attended ancient Israel while they were taking the promised land shall also attend the servants of Elohim at this gathering time. Joel 2:7-8. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks, and neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. So it says, nothing shall be able to hold down the people of Elohim. Everyone shall perfectly attend unto his business. They shall gather the fruits of the earth, and nothing shall hurt them. For the spirit of prophecy testified, as the saints left the cities and villages, they were pursued by the wicked, who sought to slay them, but the swords that were raised to kill Elohim's people broke and fell as powerless as a straw. Early Writings 2:84. Joel 2:9. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. For the servants of the Elohim shall certainly gather all their brethren out of all nations, Isaiah 6:20. Indeed so, for the legs of the gospel are the legs of the people who proclaim it. Of course, only with perfect coordination and a bulletproof army can the gospel work be finished when the two-horned beast declares that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:15. It says, Joel 2:10-11. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shine, and the Yahweh shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Yahweh is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Having announced how great and dreadful the day is to be, the Yahweh is making this plea. Joel 2:12-14. Therefore also now saith Yahweh, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of the great countenance, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, and a drink offering unto the Yahweh your Elohim. Elohim's plea is that we prepare to meet the day that now, as sincere Christians, we realize that for such an hour as this, as this message of mercy come unto us, we penitently return unto him. Joel 2:15-16. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breath, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. In these verses, as in the Joel 2:1, the command is given to blow the trumpet in Zion. This second trumpet, however, is not to announce the day of the Elohim, but to sanctify both the fast and the people, to call the solemn assembly from which not one is to be excluded from the assembly. Joel 2:17. Let the priests and ministers of Yahweh weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Yahweh, and give not thine heritage to a reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their Elohim? Here we are plainly told that the Elohim's people are to face persecution and distress, and that unless they keep close unto the Yahweh their their very existence may be at stake. Elohim's name are dishonored, and the heathen allowed to rule over them, and to challenge their faith in the Elohim. Joel 2:18-19. Then will the Yahweh be jealous for his land, and pity his people. Yea, the Yahweh will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Elohim finds refuge and freedom for them in their own land, where nothing shall be lacking. Joel 2:21-23. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Yahweh will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. It is plain enough to see that Elohim is speaking unto his people, who are to receive both the former and the latter rain in the first month. These people are Mount Zion at the 11th hour. That's who these people are. Okay, so what can you say? Those were the Gilead group, and this is who Joel is talking to. He's talking to those people in 2002. He called the former and the latter rain came at the Passover 2002. It says, Joel 2:24, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with the wine and oil. Who benefited from the two rains? Who benefited? The house of David, the Elijah and his followers. They're the ones that will benefit completely from this. And his followers would be the first fruits, 144,000, first off. And then it'd be the great multitude which no man can number, Revelation 7:9. It'll be of all the brethren that come out of all nations, of Isaiah 66. And it'll be the 200 million of Revelation 9:16. And it'll be all those that come out of Babylon at the last call, Revelation 18:1-4. Okay, that's who's going to benefit by the former and the latter rain. And who's going to bring this? The house of David. Inspiration is not speaking of the spiritual things only, but of the material things as well. For the rain, newly revealed truth, it shall therefore produce a great harvest of the souls as well as an abundance of provisions. Joel 2:25-32. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of Yahweh your Elohim, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Yahweh your Elohim, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days that I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Yahweh come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Yerushalayim shall be deliverance, as the Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call. Okay, here we see that those who call on the name of the Yahshua after the latter rain falls shall find deliverance on the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and in Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem also in the land of Israel. Also in the remnant whom the Yahshua shall call, that's 144,000. The very first word for, which is a preposition, of the next chapter shows that the prophecy of chapter 2 continues through chapter 3. Joel 3, 1 and 2. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I'll also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. These verses explain why, how, and when Elohim's people are delivered in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. These things you see are to take place when he brings again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. Then shall he bring all the nations into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there plead for all his captive people, whom the nations have scattered throughout the world. Joel 3:3. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for an harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Verse 3 reveals the vile practices of the world. Joel 3:4-7. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tara and Zidon, and all the coast of the Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head, because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Tara and Zidon and the coast of Palestine, then those nations which have scattered Elohim's people, shall have their reward. What shall their recompense be? Here is the answer. Joel 3:8-10. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah. And they shall sell them unto the Sabaeans, unto a people for all. For the Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty man. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Inasmuch as the nations will be preparing for war when these prophecies are being fulfilled, it is plain to see that atomic weapons will not bring peace. Joel 3:11. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither call thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Here we are told that Elohim's mighty ones are to meet the armies of the heathen. And where will Elohim judge the people? The following verses give the answer. Joel 3:12-14. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come ye, get ye down, for the press is full, the fast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of the decision, for the day of the Yahweh is near in the valley of the decision. Yes, here is described the day of the decision, for the multitudes will then have to decide either to serve Elohim and live, or to continue serving the devil and perish with him. Joel 3:15-16. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice in Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. For today the world is now approaching, and how blind to the fact is even the church herself. Joel 3:17-21. So shall you know that I am the Yahweh your Elohim dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass to her any more. It shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with the milk, and all the rivers of the Judah shall flow with the waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yahweh, which is the house of David. That's the same fountain that is Zechariah 13, opened unto the house of David for sin and uncleanness. And it shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desert wilderness. And that's Mount Gilead ended up being this modern day Edom today, out there in the wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah. There you have it, the house of David. They're in the 11th hour because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Their land was the land of Gilead out there in the desert. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahweh dwelleth in Zion, for the Yahshua dwelleth in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Our final cleansing is to be in our own land. For the scriptures you see are correlated. One truth explains another. Verses and chapters, therefore, cannot be isolated from their context. They are to be rightly understood. For a correct idea cannot be built upon any one verse when isolated from its continuity. And only when we take Elohim at his word can we truly study the scriptures. Then we need but the key word to unlock the mysteries of the Elohim. And here we have it. Revival and Reformation, a change of the ideas and practices, therefore, is our greatest need. Without this, we are sure to be found among those who shall say, and to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:16 and 17. That ends number 8, just going into volume 2, Time of Greetings number 9. Be a new threshing instrument in the hand of the Yahweh. The prayer thought for that study is entitled The Soul by the Wayside, taken from Christ's Object Lessons, page 43. And it says, this prayer thought is that with which the parable of the sower chiefly deals is the effect produced on the growth of the seed by the soil into which it is cast. By this parable, Yahshua was virtually saying unto his hearers, it is not safe for you to stand as critics of my work or to indulge just upon it, because it does not meet your ideas. For the question of the greatest importance unto you is, how do you treat my message? Upon your reception or rejection of it, your eternal destiny depends. For the seed sown by the wayside represents the word of the Elohim as it falls upon the heart of an inattentive hearer. Absorbed in the sinful or the selfish aims and sinful indulgences. For the soul is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For the spiritual faculties are paralyzed. Men hear the word but understand it not. They do not discern that it applies unto themselves. They do not realize their need or their danger. They do not perceive the love of the Yahshua, and they pass by the message of his grace as something that does not concern them. We should pray that we not fall after the manner of those who are already ready to find fault and to criticize, but that we give undivided attention, laying aside all prejudice and preconceived ideas, be they private or denominational, that we open our hearts unto the truth, not because it is popular, but because the Bible teaches it, realizing that anything short of this is sure to lead us where it led the ancient Jews. Okay, be a new threshing instrument in the hand of the Yahweh. Text of address, October 4th, 1947, by the V.T. Hardoff. It says that the subject will be, this subject will be found in Isaiah chapters 40 and 41. Okay, it says in Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, comfort ye, my people, saith your Elohim, speak ye comfortably unto Yahushua, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received the Yahweh's hand double for all her sins. Okay, for the inspiration we see is here urging someone to comfort Elohim's people. They are to be told not that their warfare will be accomplished, but that their warfare is accomplished, that their iniquity is pardoned, that Yahushua the church has already received double for all her sins. For this warfare of of course, could not have been accomplished in the Isaiah's time, nor in the John the Baptist's time, no, not even in the Middle Ages, for these comforting tidings can be said unto the congregation only after she has been delivered from the yoke of the Gentiles, and that would be 2002 at Kermit, Texas, for the final deliverance of the remnant from the Adventist Church, during which time the people have paid double for their sins before and after the dispersion. For this chapter, therefore, as a whole, applies in the time of the end unto our time, in the 12th parabolic hour, that is to say. Isaiah 40, verse 3, will continue. For the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for our Elohim. This is the verse in which John the Baptist found his text as a messenger to prepare the way for the Yahshua's first advent. Verily, since we have already seen that the chapter begins with a message for the people of Elohim who live in the time of the end, the time they have paid for all their sins, and since the time of their redemption has at last arrived, obviously the chapter has a primary as well as final application, for it applies both unto the Yahshua's first and unto his second advent. The last of these is figurative of a voice crying in the wilderness, not in the vineyard, not in the land of Judah, Isaiah 5:7, but in the desert, in the lands of the Gentiles. Now this is interesting. For the vineyard of the Yahweh of hosts is, is in the house of Israel, Isaiah 5:7. So, when Brother Johnson was out in the wilderness out in Kermit, Texas, what was his voice crying unto? He was crying in the desert. He was in the land of the Gentiles, away from the hill countries of Judea. He was in the hill countries of Judea until Yahweh told him to move out into the Gentile world in the desert. Because it says that the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is in the house of Israel. I put the preposition in there. It's in the house of Israel. It's not the house of Israel. It is in the house of Israel. Okay. Isaiah 40, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall, and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the burden of the message to be proclaimed is to prepare the people to meet the Yahshua, to level the high places, to raise the low, to remove all the impediments, so that the highway of the Yahweh, the way for his kingdom, be cleared. These terms of the, of course, figuratively say, for the exalted ones are to be humble, and the humble ones and those who have been cast out are to be exalted. Wrongs are to be made right for the for in the Elohim's domain, equality and justice must prevail. When the spirit of Elohim, with its marvelous awakening power, touches the soul, it abases human pride, worldly pleasure, and position and power are seen to be worthless. Imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Elohim are cast down. Every thought is brought into the captivity unto the obedience of the Yahshua. Then humility and self-sacrificing love, so little valued among men, are exalted as alone of the worth. This is the work of the gospel of which John's message was a part, the desire of ages 135, Isaiah 40, verse 5. And the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Here we are told that when this revival and reformation takes place, the glory of the Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Let us therefore realize that if we do these things, we all would be the forerunners of these glorious promises and the servants of Elohim for this time. Isaiah 40, verse 68. For the voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yahweh bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. For the message of the hour is to point out that all men are mortal, no more enduring than the grass, that even their virtues are no more lasting than the flowers of the field. So that the word of the Elohim is everlasting, that those who desire to obtain eternal life, to become as eternal as the word itself, should not put confidence in any man, but in the word of the Elohim only, that they should require for themselves, is it in the truth? Is this really the truth? And not from whom does it come? Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into thy high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with the strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the children, cities of Judah, behold your Elohim. Those who shall find a stand on the Mount Zion and who are now preparing the way of the Yahweh by the bringing of these good tidings, for all counsel to get on a high mountain, as it were, and to lift up their voices together, without any fear whatever, to proclaim of the cities of Judah to the churches everywhere, to prepare the way of the Yahweh, and to say, behold your Elohim. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Yahweh Elohim will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. This is, again, let's read that again, Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Yahshua Messiah will come with a strong hand, and his arm, the house of David, shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. So when Yahshua comes, it's not to come and gather the saints and take them quickly back to heaven. His work is before him. He's got the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, that has to do the mighty work here on earth of vindicating the righteous, by destroying the wicked, by resurrecting the righteous dead, by gathering all the righteous dead in with the righteous living and to the promised land, and destroying all the wicked, every last one of them on the face of the earth. Okay, that's the work that's before him. For the arm of the Yahshua that rules for him must be figurative of those through whom he works, Isaiah 51:9. So he's working through the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and those who are to stand with him on the Mount Sinai, Revelation 14:1. For the church spotless and without guile, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. After which shall the children of Israel return and seek the Yahshua their Elohim, or Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter day. So these are the ones that died in David's day. These are the ones that died that knew David personally. And they knew David and they knew Yahshua, because David had preached about Yahshua and introduced them to the people. And he taught them the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant that belonged to the Son, Yahshua. And he taught them that Yahshua was their Savior in the Old Testament. They were familiar with their Savior. And they accepted this plan of salvation. They followed the blood system of the animal because it personified the redemptive power of the blood of Yahshua. And so they had faith in that, and they died in faith. And David, their king, so when they are resurrected there, in Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones, it says this is the whole house of Israel. Okay, it says when they're resurrected, they're going to automatically head toward Jerusalem, because that was their headquarters when they died. That's where they were at when they died. And so they're going to go looking for Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their king. And shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3, 4, and 5. For the messengers of the hour are to declare too that the Yahshua's reward, the life forevermore, is with him, but that his work is still before him, yet to be finished. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. This care over his people is to be felt when his arm rules for him. He shall then take charge of his work and of his people, as a shepherd takes charge of a flock. He shall exercise personal care over all, old and young alike. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Since there is none other than the Elohim himself who can do all these things, and he himself is to take charge of his own flock. Now this is talking about Yahshua. Let's read that again. Since there is none other than Yahshua himself who can do all these things, and since he himself is to take charge of his own flock, we know that his care over them will be matchless, and why should we not hasten that time? Isaiah 40, verse 13 and 14. Who hath directed the Spirit of Yahweh, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed unto him the way of the understanding? We know that the Spirit, who leads into all truth and all knowledge, is not himself led or taught by any man. Hence, why should we depend on any man that is divested of the inspiration to pass judgment on the inspired truth? For the Word points out that not men only, but even the nations are as nothing. Now we have a man, Alan DeLong. He has no inspiration. What inspiration he had to do right, he lost it all. And so now he's passing judgment upon a prophet, Elijah, with the inspiration. He's passing judgment on him, telling him he's not teaching his message right. He's making claims. He's this and that. He's not what he's claiming to be. So here's an uninspired person that is accusing an inspired person of not having the truth. Isn't this indicative of the way Satan works? Isaiah 40, verse 15 to 17. Behold, the nations are as a drop, okay, of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, it taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. When we realize that the nations on the earth, in the comparison to Elohim's power, are as nothing, that neither the timber nor the beasts of the Lebanon are sufficient for even a burnt offering, just as soon we will see all men, including ourselves, as insufficient or insignificant and as worthless as the dust. And we shall see our dependence upon him as important and as complete as is the dependence of an infant upon his parents. Isaiah 40, verse 18. Unto him then will you liken Elohim, or what likeness will you compare unto him? This is now a question for each one to answer in his own mind. Isaiah 40, verse 19 and 20. It says, for the workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with the gold, and cast a silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In these verses is shown how foolish men are, but they do not stop for the considering that though a piece of wood may be good for fuel, yet when a man tries to make of it a likeness of Elohim, it is but foolishness, and that is to bow down to it is degrading and blasphemous. Isaiah 40, verse 21 to 23. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as the stubble. Unto whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One, Yahshua. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that bringeth out their host by the number? He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one of faileth. Since the Elohim is greater than human imagination can fathom, why do men depend so little upon him, and so much upon their own words? True, we may not actually bow down unto an image, but we may do other things that are equally idolatrous. Indeed, if such were not the case, these exhortations would not have come to us through this timely revealed prophecy. Isaiah 40:27-31. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, My way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Elohim, the Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power unto the faint, and unto them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Okay, it says, is it not surprising that the church, having come down through the ages this far, must now be taught the very first fundamentals of her faith? Isaiah 41:1-2. Keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us all come near together under judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him ruler over kings. He gave them as a dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. But I know that this here antitypical Elijah is this such a person that he's called from the east, and he's going to make him the ruler over kingdoms and nations. To renew their strength is to put away sin, and to come near to Elohim is to learn of him. Having done this, they are then to invite others to come to judgment, for the nations will keep silent until that time, and then will they say, Come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and unto the house of Elohim of the Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth to Zion, and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. Micah 4:2. Our work is therefore to prepare the way of the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, for the gathering of the people. Isaiah 41:3-5. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am Yahweh the first, and with the last, I am he. I mean, he's talking about I am the Yahshua, the first and the last. That's the Son. The isles saw it and feared, the ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. These verses plainly show that the manifestation of the Elohim's power is to be felt everywhere. Isaiah 41:6. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said unto his brother, Be of the good courage. Elohim's people are indeed to help their neighbor. For the foolish nevertheless shall do foolishly, and shall continue in their idolatry. Isaiah 41:7-10. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with the nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. This is talking about antitypical Elijah today. like he did John the Baptist. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Elohim's promises unto his servants are sure. Let us take hold of them now. We shall never find an opportunity as good as we have today. Tomorrow will be too late. We had better respond while Elohim is pleading. Isaiah 41:11-12. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Okay. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Now is our opportunity to do all we can for those who oppose us, for here we are plainly told that if they continue in their hostility, they shall perish. Okay, Isaiah 41:13. For out of Yahweh thy Elohim will hold my thy right hand, a saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. If we as a people are not fearful, then why all these pleadings and encouragement? Why the urgings that we cast out our fears? Isaiah 41:14-15. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as the chaff. To thresh the mountains, kingdoms, is to take the wheat, the saints, out of them. For the servants of Elohim, therefore, are here promised a new instrument, different from any ever used before. That is, the gathering of the saints in the harvest time is to be accomplished in a way undreamed of, contrary unto every human plan. For this instrument will have teeth. It will suddenly separate the wheat from the straw and blow out the chaff. For the Yahshua whose fan is in his hand will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. Matthew 3:12. For this cause we are called, and for this great and grand work we are to prepare the way. This brings further status to our contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11, click on our audio archives. We're going to close this service now with a song. Valley of Indecision by the Elijah David. This cross valley of indecision, New Hope Mountain is on the rise. Scourging hills are far behind me, they are fading out of sight. Hope has found a generation, faith has finally found a way to make its way through the darkness to that bright and lasting day. Cross that mountain, cross that sea, cross that river, come along with me to the land of milk and honey, to that land of liberty. There will be life in abundance, there'll be joy beyond compare. In that land across the river, won't you meet me over there? Yes, you see the light from heaven's glory shining on this world of mine. And it's telling a wonderful story, how I was sent to save mankind. Herald the message to all nations, call their sheep back to the fold. With a little touch of heaven, flood each and every soul. Cross that mountain, cross that sea, cross that river, come along with me. To that land of milk and honey, to that land of liberty. There'll be life in abundance, there'll be joy beyond compare. In that land across the river, won't you meet me over there? As through this world of ancient history, with a review of things to come, with the past you can, the future of a world with a downhill run. Heading for the final countdown, teeming millions all around, when the nations have been gathered.
protect, tell me where will you be found? Cross that mountain, cross that sea, cross that river, come along with me to that land of milk and honey, to that land of liberty. Never be like enough.